God's good, amen? Appreciate the time to come back and worship with you. Definitely want to pray for our people that are on vacation. I'll tell you what, it's been good. And like I said this morning, it's good that you can get out of town, get a little R&R. And I thank God for being so good to me, amen, putting up with me. 58 years old and putting up with my wife for almost 55, amen? So, hey, just for a little while tonight, I tell you, I told Miss Linda, glad you're here. Glad you came. I tell you, God's good. It's funny, I was hearing you speak, and I've got a friend in the Church of Christ that I went to school with. And I actually listened to one of his sermons, and it was on scriptural baptism. And I want each and every one of us to know that it's important to go to a Bible-preaching church. Because I'm going to tell you, what you preach and what you teach matters. Now this gentleman here, I remember I told my wife today that him and his family used to go out of their way to pick me up and take me to church, which is a good thing. But I'll tell you what, when you get into doctrine that matters, amen, and let me go ahead and say this, it's salvation is Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. If my salvation relies on you or your preacher or your congregation or the way you believe, or I have to live in a certain way to make heaven, I'm not going to make it, and neither are you, amen. Let me go ahead and put this down. You tell me tonight, and I want one of you to stand up tonight, if you think you're living in such a way that you deserve to go to heaven, amen. Who is righteous enough in here tonight that you think that you're able to stand up and say, Christ, I'm telling you right now, I deserve heaven, amen. Nobody. We better thank God that he sent his only begotten son down to an old wicked world, amen. We better thank God that he was that heavenly sacrifice that we all needed. You better thank God. But anyway, this brother's name is Philip Strong, amen. They moved back from, and he's in Shreveport now. But he was saying that scriptural baptism has to be for salvation. He said that if you didn't listen, we all here that are saved have been baptized. But he said if you don't go down in the water believing that this actual baptizing, the submersion, is a part of your salvation, you are going to go to hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? It does matter what you believe. He said that if it wasn't him or part of his congregation that actually takes you down into the water. And by this, he said, when I immerse you, you're actually coming in contact, Brother Eddie. The actual blood of Jesus Christ is what he said, or you will not make it to God's heaven, amen. What a crock. The gall. I'm such a preacher that when I immerse you, that I'm actually immersing you, and you're coming in contact of the very blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He come down in Mark 16:15, and this is where he come from, Brother Eddie. He said, go you into all the world. Now this is Jesus speaking. And preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He took that one verse and said, that shows you right there that you have to believe and you have to be baptized for salvation. He took that right there. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now he stopped mid-sentence. It didn't say that he is not baptized shall be damned. It said that he that believeth not shall be damned. And he certainly didn't go on down in verse 17 when Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Isn't it something how churches can take things out of context and make a doctrine out of it? But I'm going to tell you what right now. Don't stop mid-sentence, amen. My question to him is, look, how many devils you've been casting out? Take you some rat poison and put it in a glass of water and go ahead and drink it up, see if it don't hurt you, amen. Why don't I get you a cottonmouth rattlesnake, as Joe calls them, and play with that a while, amen, and make a doctrine out of that? It does matter. It does matter. I'm going to tell you what. I thank God on Jesus' behalf. Oh, yes, it's Jesus plus nothing or minus nothing tonight. I'm saved, but it's not by my self. It's not how worthy I am tonight. It's how worthy He is. It's all about Jesus, Brother Eddie. Anything good about me tonight, it's not because of me, because I'm going to tell you, most things in me is just the flesh. Anything good about me come from God. If I don't watch my very step, I'll be stepping out of the way. If I don't watch my very step, you'll be looking at me and saying, is that Brother Darrell? It does matter. So when you're looking for a church, you better make sure that it's scripturally and doctrinally sound, or it'll lead you in the wrong way. Now that's just a freebie tonight. I've already been paid. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it says, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Are you listening to me? But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up and grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, boy, I like this, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the land of Saul, And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Verse 11 says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do the thing before all Israel and before the sun. I'm going to tell you what, David's in a bind. And just for a little while tonight, I'm going to preach, you can run, but you can't hide. Be sure your sin will find you out. Brother Ron, open us up in a word of prayer. Amen. We're going back up to chapter 11. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you what, there's a time and a place that we ought to be in our lives. God's warning us today that I'm going to tell you what, old King David should have been off leading the battle, brother. God had a connotation here that as it was time for kings to go to battle, he tarried behind. And may I remind you tonight that the most times that I've gotten myself in trouble, did you hear what I said? I've gotten myself in trouble is because I wasn't where I was supposed to be, amen. God's got a time and a place and places we ought to keep ourselves. And when you vary from them too far, you are putting yourself in a position to where you're going to fail. Oh, yeah, you're going to fail. I'm going to tell you what, there was a time that David rose up from his bed in the afternoon and he got out on the roof. And it said, old Bathsheba was down there bathing. And he looked upon her. Now, I've been one of those one that said, you know, you're a man and that's going to happen. There's no excuse. I'm here to tell you right now, it's a time and a place when it gets like that, you ought to back up and turn your face away from evil. Amen. They said, I hear it all the time, well, looking's not going to hurt you. I'm going to tell you right now, if your plumbing still works, go ahead and look, and you'll be lusting right after that, amen. You younger men, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to see all kinds of things as you're growing up. The best thing you can do is turn away and run from it, amen. Because I'm going to tell you what we feed in these eyes affect us elsewhere and affect our members, amen. There's no excuse for a Christian to be looking and lusting, amen. Now, Baptists are so easy to get on Bathsheba, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't know the customs, but evidently the custom was their bathtub was up on top of the roof, amen. Now, I will tell you, ladies, is if you dress in such a way that it's not modest, and you're dressing in such a way that to make a man lust after you, you're the same way, amen. We ought to dress as Christians in a way that it'd be modest apparel, as the Bible talks about, amen. And if you get in a position to where you realize things aren't right, you are the same way. You ought to turn yourself around and get on back to safety. Amen. Looking will get you in trouble. I have been there, done that. Now, I know you hadn't, good godly men, but I'm going to tell you what, if you'll be honest with yourself, you can go ahead and be honest and say, yeah, I've looked and I've lusted, amen. But there's no excuse. You have a wife at home, and may I get on this a little bit? Ladies, you have a responsibility to take care of your husband, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Bible says, defraud you not one with another. I'm tired, just don't get it. I've got a headache, just don't get it. I'm sick again, just don't get it. Now this is serious. So many of our Baptist so-called men and husbands are getting in trouble day in and day out. You can call it what you want to. You better go ahead and take care of business before it comes a problem. Amen. David had no excuse, as you can see. God gave him multiple places to get out. But it's just like our own nature is to want something we hadn't got. Amen. We just can't be satisfied with what God's given us. God has blessed us beyond measure, but we want more and more and more and more. It consumes us until we get in trouble. Now, David had a man of God's son come on in and went ahead, and he didn't set him up. It's just showing him. Yeah, has God ever showed you some things? Boy, he has me. He has me. It ain't a setup. It's a God, I'm going to tell you, telling me what's going on. And look at you, and you better beware also. Take heed and be humble lest you fall. Take heed. Oh, yeah, he went ahead and let him know there were two men in one city. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man just had that one little ewe. Nursed him. Even his children played with him. Eat the same food. Drink the same water. It's all he had. But there came a traveler to the rich man and spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man. You know what? He had plenty, but he didn't want to take care of his abundance. He could have went ahead and took care of business on what he had. But he looked at that poor man and took the very you that he had, all he had. What a shame. I can see David's face now. Quite the man. Oh yeah, he's going to pay with his life and restore fourfold. Not only did he know that, listen, you may run, but you can't hide. Be sure your sin will find you out. Yes. You playing up here at Appleby Baptist?
Right. Yes,
somebody got him a little side fling going? You looking when you ought not be looking?
Right. Yes,
you may run, but you can't hide. And one of these days, strike one, strike two, strike three, and you're going to be out. Yes, you're going to be exposed. You're going to be exposed, and God's going to be doing it. He exposed David. Are we any better than David? A man after God's own heart? Don't sit there pious to me and think that, look, I don't think that way. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. As the Lord liveth, the man had done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this to this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, there art the man. And I'm going to tell you what, God went ahead, and I'm going to tell you right here, this is good when God starts talking about I.
Yes, sir.
Son, he scolded him. said, I have anointed thee king over Israel. You know what? David didn't anoint himself. God anointed him. He said, I did this. And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives, plural, into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that hadn't been too little, I, moreover, had given unto thee such and such things more. He told him up front, I did this thing for you, and if that wasn't enough, I'd have gave you more. Yeah. But you wanted something a little extra. That little extra is going to get you in trouble one of these days. The decisions we make, especially when you're married and have children, not only are you in trouble, but you're going to cause a lot of trouble down the line. Yeah. I want to tell you right now, God confronted David through Nathan. Exposed him. I promise you, if each and every one of us would be honest, there's some things in our lives that God hadn't exposed us, but we deserved it, amen? You better thank God that God kept it secret and we got it under the blood, because I'm going to tell you what, God's a merciful God. Now, we don't like to hear this because it's too tough on us. It's easy to talk about David, but not so easy to talk about our sin. Our sin and our looking and our lust. Let's keep it on David, amen? That'll be so much easier. Oh, yeah. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? It's all about sin. To do evil in his sight. Everything you do, everything I do in secret, it's no secret. It's no secret, may I remind you tonight. You may think you're getting away with it. Nobody knows. God knows. What about if God sends a Nathan your way and says, thou art the man, thou art the woman. Thou hast killed Uriah. And you see how sin done him? It started with looking. Then it went with bring her on up my way. Then it went with lying with her. Then went ahead and conceived. Then it went hiding that sin. Then it went killing the husband. You see how sin will take you way further than you want to go. And it'll keep you way longer than you're willing to stay too. You see what I'm trying to get to you tonight? There's no secret things hidden from God, and you may think that you're shuffling it under the carpet, but I'm going to tell you what, the remnants are still under that carpet. When God brings a Nathan your way and rolls that carpet up, it's going to be out in the open, and then everybody will see. Let's see what he says. Now, therefore, and I'm going to tell you another thing before we get on this. You can ask for forgiveness, I have. But sin's going to be paid for. You understand what I'm saying? Sin will be dealt with. You will pay for sin. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. He's talking to a man that was a man after his own heart. Did he let him get by with it? No, sir. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes, the very wives that he gave the king in his bosom. I'm going to take those same ones and let the neighbors have them. It open so everybody can see. What a shame. and shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before Israel and before the sun. God don't play. He does not play. And this message is for me as well as it for you, amen. Go ahead and dibble and dabble. Dibble and dabble. Dibble and dabble in sin, and you're going to be found out. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. God didn't kill him. But I'm going to tell you what, the sword never departed out of David's house. You better count the cost tonight. You better tighten up the buckle. You're dibbling and dabbling. You better get it right and get it over, because you're about to get called out. You're about to get found out. And God don't play tonight. Let's all stand. Dylan, why don't you dismiss us?